1937. I graduated from Hollywood High in January 37. Then mm-hmm. I started UCLA in September 37. Mm-hmm. So I lacked a, you know, delayed a semester.
And your plan then was still the teaching?
The teaching. I thought I was going to teach French or math.
Mm-hmm.
And I got hold of an old a counselor out there. They usually just assigned to people who were not counselors, but they had that title. And she said, the girls don't make good math minors. And it took 5 years to teach high school, where I would be teaching either math or French. People who aren't native speakers don't make good French teachers. So she suggested, and she knew I was poor, you know, dying on the vine for boredom. And she said, why don't you just teach elementary school? Because that's a four-year program, and that's teaching. So I said, well, okay. That's all right, too. I didn't mind that. I really did mind it, mm-hmm. but I thought, you know, what can I do? I knew I was handicapped by not being able to go on for another 5 years. You know, when you're 17 years old, when you're 18 years old, 4 years seems like an eternity. Mm-hmm. Never mind five. So I said, okay. And she let me be an education major and an English, I think a French and English minor. Yeah, French and English minor. We needed two minors. And then after I started psych, the second semester, I switched to psych major.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was the second year, my sophomore year, because by then it was too late to go on with a math minor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean a psych minor. I guess that minor.
Now, what were your first reactions to UCLA? Was it still on the
north there? No. Oh, yeah, long since it had been out there. You know, I just thought it was the most gorgeous thing I'd ever seen in my life. I just could hardly bear to leave. I just loved it. And
you were living at home?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just drove out each day. It was really, I really thought it was great to be there. I just loved it. Although it was very large and there were no intimacies, you know, and I didn't really make any friends there. I just hurried on home and worked and studied because mm-hmm. I was still doing, you know, house cleaning and all that stuff. So, however, I loved the libraries. I loved the courses and that sort of thing. So, let's see.
Now, how did your college career then progress? And then somewhere along the line, you had your son.
That's
here.
Right, yeah. So the guy, Clarence, moved back to Florida or somewhere with a combo that he was playing at the time. And that was, you know, a big relief because that was a period. And then I started... just to go around and hang around with my sister's crowd, my younger sister's group, and we had, we really had, a lot of fun, a lot of group dating, no single mm-hmm. dating, but really had a lot of fun together, and one of the guys there and I began seeing each other, and out of that, Jeff, by the time I was ready to go back for my junior year, I was pregnant. And,
Now, this would be the first real dating then.
Yeah.
And you were in college, but this would have been basically the high school group?
Yeah. That's right.
How did that feel for you?
Terrible, you know. I was really mad, you know. This, he was 2 years younger than I, mm-hmm. but he seemed older than that to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I just clouded myself. It was just so different from the... from the atmosphere I've been in with this other guy, mm-hmm. from the time I was just a kid. Actually, I was emotionally stuffed mm-hmm. about back when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
So I fit right in mm-hmm. with that group.
And it was the first, basically the first time of sort of youthful innocence.
That's right. And the boy-girl, that's right. The boy-girl business of down to the, guy down to the beach having hot dogs, you know. Oh, you know, Gigi or whatever it is all over again. So, but the older guy, at least I never got pregnant, you know, so
Now, did you take any precautions?
No. Because that made it seem as if it was premeditated, somehow or other, as if it was premeditated. And I'm sure you'll hear this from women in my age group. That many of us got pregnant simply because we didn't want to admit that there was a possibility that we might do it. Or God forbid that we would say to the guy, you know, put on a rubber, Joe, you know, we were not supposed to even know about such things. And, you know, we'd go to our deaths before we would really admit that this was not the first time or whatever.
Did you enjoy sex?
Not with the with Clarence, no, never. But, you know, bam, you know, right immediately with my son's father. It was just like, yeah, then my God, is this what it's supposed to be like, you know? Because, frankly, on the other one, I was thinking, well, this is not that much, you know, who's going to give up teaching school for this? Not me.
Now, what happened when you became pregnant? How did your mother react to that?
I didn't tell her. Jay and I took Mother's car and set off cross country to get jobs and get married and that sort of thing. And we ended up in Texas where...
Oh, so you dropped out of school then?
Dropped out of UCLA. I didn't drop out. I didn't do a damn thing. I just took off. You know, I said, well, let's, you know, we can't get married here. We're too young. Or he was too young. You know, as we went further and further, it became apparent that he was not about to make the step. So we got to Texas and then found out that, you know, there was really very deep depression. There were no jobs for him. And I couldn't clean houses because they only hired black women to clean houses in Texas. You just didn't. And we went to a church or two and they just wouldn't do a thing. There was nothing they felt they could do for us. So I think I called my mother. Yeah, I called mother rather than telegram. And so she had my brother send me his credit card and some money. You know, I think they sent us, I don't know if they sent us cash or not. I think they must have done. Yeah, they did send us some cash, I feel sure. Not, you know, not cash, but I mean like a... Telegram. Yeah.
What did you tell them?
I told her I was pregnant. And it was, in effect, stolen the car because that's what it was. It wasn't my car, it was hers. She couldn't drive it. I was drove her everywhere. And nevertheless, she came to the rescue and it surprised the hell out of me. You know, before I jumped off the ridge, I thought I'd see what happened. And so she, you know, made it possible for us to get back here to California. At which point, Jay's mother and two older brothers took over and said, no way. He's too young to get married. It's not going to happen. And they decided it probably wasn't his anyway. And they said, you know, we know that you used to date a guy. Of course, they didn't really know, but they were older and wiser and very good at saying, they said, we know you've been dating this other guy. Up to a couple of, and I said, but he's been gone for 4 months or 5 months or whatever it was. So they said, well, it's possible for, you know, one to get stuck in there. And they couldn't do it. Really, truly. And their uncle was a physician. So they said, no, you're just not going to do anything. So they didn't.
Yeah, how did your mother take all this?
As if it were... an everyday occurrence. You know, I really could not believe. You know, I thought she would berate me. I thought she would say, out, go, you know, be gone forever. But she didn't. She just said, well, now, you know, we're just going to see it through. That's all there is to it.
Did you ever connect back to the fact that her changed
your life? Yeah. Yes, but we'd never discussed it, you know, so I didn't, you know.
And in terms of that maybe that's why her response.
Yeah, well, definitely, yes. However, I didn't know, you know, that she would, because her talking all along, you know, she'd say, oh, I'd always argue, why wouldn't, I remember something her mother said that made me think she wouldn't put up with it. oh, I'll always love you. Or, you know, we used to discuss things, I'll always love you. Oh, of course, if you lay around with boys or something like that. So a friend of mine said, so of course you had to lay around with boys to check that out, too.
Did you have any friends at this point that you could talk to?
No, not out here. None. And I didn't feel I could talk to my brother. Isn't that curious? And I didn't feel that I could talk to my brother. But, of course, my older sister was back east, and really, you know, married at 16, what did she know about?
Mm-hmm.
Things like this.
Did you think about abortion?
Mm-hmm, I did. Mm-hmm. And I found, I knew somebody, I did have some friends. What am I talking about? It's funny that they didn't seem close to me. They were people that were acquaintances rather than friends. Somebody that I knew who knew someone who had an abortion. So before I went back east, I found out where to go. I went down, you know, by myself. And I was so damn dumb. He asked me how old I was, and I told him. And he said, then you'll have to have your mother's sign. And it never dawned on me to tell him that I was 22 years old.
Now, this was here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, right, uh-huh. So then he said, then he examined me, and he said, oh, no, you must be you're at least 4 months along, or something like that. And I knew it was impossible. They said, no, it's much too late to do the abortion. So I could see that he wasn't, about to do it.
Was he a physician?
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought that would be a good way out. But it just things fell, you know, the point was. I suppose if had he been willing to do it, I probably would have been asked my mother to sign and see if she would. And that would have all the absurd things. Tell me that. It just never dawned on me to, you know, I never knew why he was asking me, you know. I just thought that, you know, he was.
So you basically then, when you came back, decided that you were going to go ahead and have a
child. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at that point, what did you think would happen in terms of your story?
Well, I just knew that, when, after I had the baby, I would simply just work harder.
But you planned on going back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. You know, what can you do with 2 years of college?
Mm-hmm.
So, I just imagined that I would have the baby and then off I'd go. How I was going to solve all these. In fact, I was, my sister and I were in an apartment. And my mother and sister were gone somewhere. I was going to be gone for the night, and I was plugging up the windows, you know, with towels, you know, and things like that. And I was just going to turn on the gas stove because I didn't see any way out, really. You know, I simply didn't see any way out. So as I was plugging, before I turned on the gas, and I had everything pretty well sealed up, and I began to wonder, you know, what might happen? You know, would it be possible? Could I still go on and do, you know? Because I thought, how can I, a 20-year-old person, support a baby? You know, I don't know how I could do it. And I just found out, so I wonder what has happened. And I got really curious. I wonder if it would be a boy or a girl, you know, and just all that sort of thing. And finally, I just thought, well, what am I doing? You know, I went around and gathered up all the towels and put them away. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a way out better than that. So that's as close as I came to suicide, which I really thought was the only way out. Because the Jay's parent and mother and brothers just sent him back east.
Mm.
So no communication, and he was docile enough to do it, you know. After all, he's 18, is he going to fight his family? Men couldn't get work, was he going to, however I felt betrayed. But,
so then after you waited until the birth?
Then, well, you know, hospitals are very expensive and all that stuff. And so, mother said, why don't you go back to Pennsylvania? It's a good place to go back to your roots and do all this. So we called Peg and Mick, and they said, sure, come on, you know.
Hmm.
So I drove to Pennsylvania, and my younger sister accompanied me. She had quit school. She was not very eager to go to school, and so she had to quit. She just started poking around, doing nothing.
Was she supportive during this time?
My younger sister? Mm-hmm. Yes, I think mm-hmm. so. I think so, yes. And so we went back east, and she couldn't drive, but she at least accompanied me. And we went back to Pennsylvania. We went back in January. Jeff was born in April 17th. And we started back June 1st.
Mm.
So,
what was the reaction of the family back there?
Well, they just, oh, of course, my sister, you know, loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And so did my brother-in-law, so they... You know, they made no, didn't even mention the fact. They just pretended that I was married, and
mm-hmm.
my husband was, well, we pretended my husband was somewhere else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody asked questions. I'm sure they knew. I'm
yeah.
sure the neighbors knew very well.
But so there wasn't a sense that you were married?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Very much a pretense. In fact, I pretended so much that when I went back to UCLA, I changed my name.
What did you do? Just make one up?
Oh, no, use his.
Oh,
yes, I use his name. Oh, my God. Because I thought, I don't know if I can be sued. I don't know if this is a crime or not. I use somebody else's name, but I use his name. And, you know, I couldn't have this great big impersonal university as if they cared whether or not I was married. But then later on, I got to thinking, well, this is very awkward using his name. It's certainly not mine. So, I went in a petition to have a name change. I said, I had to tell them something. I said, I got a divorce and got my old name back. Oh, Lord. But I was trying, really, what I was trying to do was protect my baby.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want this all to be bandied about.
So there was the pretense then that...
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And how soon after his birthday did you return to UCLA?
We were born in April and I went back in September.
Uh-huh. And your mother took care of him?
No. we had, mother had a job looking after a little boy for some people, for an actress. And it made quite a lot of money. She lived there,
mm-hmm.
but she made an adequate salary.
Mm-hmm.
So then she, my sister and I, had an apartment in Hollywood. My sister and Jeff and I had an apartment in Hollywood. And mother paid the rent on that. And I had a job, 6 to 8 hours a day, working. I had only 10 units at UCLA,
mm-hmm.
or 12, something like that, not full. And worked 6 to 8 hours a day, cleaning house for a family. And I got my meals there, so then I can was able to pay a woman who, a woman who was divorced and had a little boy, had alimony or had child support from her husband, so she needed a place to stay. She stayed in our place and took care of Jeff and her own little boy, and mother and I bought the food, and I paid her. In those days, it was something like $10 a month is all I had to pay her, you know, in addition to her child support, and she had enough money to get by.
What was your birth like? Were you in a hospital?
No, at Peg's house.
Uh-huh. And was there a doctor?
Yeah, there was a doctor and a woman who was, you know, a practical nurse,
mm-hmm.
who came in for 10 days to watch the baby, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that sort of thing. So I had him at home in at my sister's house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big natural childbirth. It was natural childbirth. You know, we didn't have, you know,
mm-hmm.
anesthetic or anything like that. So that was like, I'm well held. At that time, I thought they'd probably only ever have one child, so I might as well
mm-hmm.
see what this is all about. So partly it was that. Partly it was, I don't know if it, I suppose you'd have had to go to a hospital
mm-hmm.
to have anesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But how did you feel about the experience?
I didn't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was very painful.
It seems that this new thing was suddenly thrust upon you.
Yeah.
You were
coming in for years. Oh, God, yes. I was unprepared. I remember I was, I had marks on my breast, stretch marks, and I didn't know when we got back from Texas. You know, I hadn't had my clothes on for 4 days, 5 days, or whatever. And they appeared during that time. And then later on, when he moved, I thought he died. You know, I thought it felt to me as if something turned over inside me, and then it was just silent. You know, just silence. And I had no idea that the baby moved. Never dawned on me, and nobody had ever mentioned it. So I called my mother, and practicing it, I said, "Oh my God, Mother, something terrible happened." And she began to laugh, you know. She said, "You silly goose, then you're going to be doing that from now on." It's something that people don't think to tell you. And I wasn't seeing a doctor, you know, so, you know, back then.
You really had no information at all.
Well, I mean, I knew they came out of birth canal, but that's about all. I had no idea what I was in for, none. I just can't imagine how I could have been so. I think many women in my generation, most women in my generation had their children in hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And even the ones who were unwed at the time, I think most of them really went to a hospital and did it. But it was, you know, the doctor, I went to see him a couple times, maybe, 4 or 5 times before the baby was born. And I remember the price, it was $35. So you can't really beat that. And it was $10 for the woman to come in and watch him 10 times. So it was, you know, it was rather, really, we were really very poor at that time. So, and I was not earning anything, so it was, I really felt, I felt, you know, I thought, if this is what it's like, I sure as hell, I'm never going to have another one. Although soon, you know, I would have, if things were better later, I probably would have. Maybe I wouldn't have. I didn't like the experience at all.
But it seemed like despite all of these things that you had a resolve, I mean, after you decided you weren't going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
You had this resolve that, I mean, here you were with this infant.
Yeah.
You were going to go back to school and do what
you
planned.
Sure, because, you know, I here I have this little boy, I'm going to raise him all the rest of, you know, his life. So I needed more money than housework brought in, and or I thought of the telephone company. In fact, I wanted to, I thought I could work there while I was going to UCLA, so to make it a little easier. But they said that they wouldn't hire me under the circumstances because they train people, you know, to continue with their company. And it wouldn't pay them to train me to be for another 2 years. So I could see their point, and... So then, no, I really, you know, I was, you know, firmly resolved to go on and teach school and come hell or high water. So that's...
Did you think that you would be able to do all of that once you returned to school when he was,
he was, a couple months old. Well, yes, I thought I would be able to. You know, I knew it was going to be hard. I knew it was not going to be a picnic. But after all, Mother was helping me, so I wasn't entirely alone, and... in this world, and so I just figured somehow to work out. How many more? I only had 2 more years, and I had to go, and I thought you can do almost anything for 2 years. So.
Now, how did you organize your life then, between going to school, working, and taking care of your son?
You mean the first year, and then he was going, I got up at 6 o'clock, or before 6, because he was on a schedule baby, and he was on 6:10 and all that stuff. So I got up and got him his breakfast, and he was, soon enough, he was eating cereal and things like that. So I gave him his breakfast, and I'm sure whatever you did in those, at that time of the day. And then the woman who was looking after him got up and took care of him when I went to school. So I went to school till about, I don't know what time, maybe 1 or 2, 1 o'clock, I think. And then I went to this house that I took care of. And about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and cleaned it up, and prepared dinner, and cleaned up their breakfast stuff and all that stuff. And served dinner, waited till they ate. I had my dinner, and then cleaned the dishes, cleaned up everything, and went home. Unless they had a party, it was a little later. Then I went home. I got home about full 8 o'clock, maybe 9, and then I studied till 2 o'clock.
Mm.
So I got four, I mean, I planned this, so I had 4 hours sleep, didn't you? So that was, but you know, my God, I was 20, by the time 21, you know, you don't really think of limits much.
Mm-hmm.
And after all, I had the weekends when I could go to and I wasn't taking a full schedule, so, I just took care of Jeff in the morning, really, because by the time I got home at night, he was in bed most of the time.
Mm. Did you begin to make any friends during the period?
No, not really. I was too busy. Well, a friend of my brother's I began to date.
Mm-hmm.
Again, a friend of my brother's, but he was a neighbor, you know. So, so he'd come over. Actually, he started to, he was going to school and working, too. At first, he was just working, and then I talked him into going to school. So he went to LACC, and then we'd study together. He'd come over at 8 o'clock, and we'd study together. Then I took care of Jeffy on the weekends, so that she could, you know, go off to mm-hmm. see her family, and the one who took care of him, be with her name. So that was the hardest year of my life, I guess. I think so. I think it was. I mean, physically, the most draining
mm-hmm.
year of my life. But see, then Jeffrey was a year old on April 17th, and my mother was going to go back to Maine with the actress whose boy she took care of, and. My sister, on the way out back out here from Pennsylvania, we'd stopped at my sister Dottie's place, the one who was originally my cousin, in Pittsburgh. And, you know, she and her husband would have really liked to adopt Jeff. I couldn't, you know, really see that. But when Mom was going back east, and we thought, well, maybe Jeff could go back there and stay, because that job was coming to an end in June, and I was going to be scrambling for work. So Mom took Jeff along with her on the way to Maine on the train and stopped off in Pittsburgh and left him with Dottie, who kept him then until November of that year.
Oh, so you'd actually started working in that period then?
Yeah, but, you know, various jobs. Let's see, what I was doing different kinds of jobs, a lot of short and part-time jobs. I did a lot of housework during the summer and a lot of strange things. That fall, that was the fall of 41, I was got a job working for the LA Times doing surveys, door-to-door canvassing for questionnaires that they were publishing at that time.
Yeah. This would have been your senior year?
That was my senior year, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then Christmas time, we during Christmas recess, I got a job for the toy manufacturing company. Toy was the name of the man, not the product. And so they took pictures. And they had a laminating process in which they could put the pictures in. So December, you know what December 7th was that year. So suddenly every place in town wanted laminated photographs. So they, you know, badges and stuff like that. So this guy said, you know, please stay with me, you know, and he wanted to make me office manager or at whatever the hell it was we were doing, assembling and all that stuff. So I thought, you know, good heavens, I need the money. So I said, yes, sure, I can see that there's the war bombs going to be shooting around. I can't be running out there to UCLA. But then that lasted, oh, I don't know, for just a few months. It became it was a little ingrown thing, and I didn't.
Mm.
It was very uncomfortable. It was the owner and
mm-hmm.
the owner's wife and the owner's best friend and his wife and a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
like
so you stopped school?
I stopped school, yeah. Mm-hmm. Quit school in that December during Christmas vacation.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of Christmas vacation, really, because he, you know, he offered me a raise and
mm-hmm.
a manager job and that sort of stuff. But actually, I didn't stay there very long. I went out to Lockheed, and they said they had no job that was mutually satisfactory. So, but if I were interested, I could go to Frank Wiggins, which is now Trade Tech, and then come back and see them. So I went down there and took sheet metal course for however long, I don't remember
mm-hmm.
how they were. It was abbreviated, certainly, because I'm sure by June, maybe before that, I was working.
Mm-hmm.
I went back to Lockheed again with with good grades. You know, it was just a whole new world because I just loved it. You know, the sheet metal was just, like, God, such fun. I didn't, you know, I had never really stopped to think that really everything is made, you know, that isn't natural and growing. And to learn how to go about making it, and it was just wonderful. You know, I just loved it. Made a lot of friends out there.